everybody, and welcome to episode 53 of The Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
And I'm Stacy, the political princess.
Stacy's back after smoking her pig.
Yeah. So bizarre. How was it?
It was super good. Like, it couldn't have gone any better, but I think we were not anticipating that much work. So, like...
Well, now you have a pig pit, so...
Yeah, but I mean, like, you dig a pit and then you put a bunch of firewood in. You put a bunch of newspaper down, then a bunch of firewood, and then pile rocks on it. And then you, like, light it and it burns all the wood down, so you have hot rocks. And then you put the pig on top of that, cover it, bury it. So, yeah, we have the pit, but we still would have to dig all the coal and burnt wood and rocks out of the pit to like use it again.
It's amazing our species survived with like the amount of like, if we had to all be suddenly thrust back into the dark ages, you know how many people would,
I would die.
Yeah,
I'd be like, I can't, it's too much,
I'm gonna starve to death.
I had a good run,
like 3 days worth of work, like, oh, to get everything ready. And I mean, we also like mowed weeds and got other stuff ready too, but I mean, it was a lot of work for this pig.
How long does the actual pig take to cook in a buried in hot rocks?
We put it in at 10:40 p.m. Friday, and it was perfect at 11 a.m. Saturday.
Damn.
It cooked for like a day and a half.
Well, yeah, because you pretty much cook overnight. It with smoke, right? Like, it's the heat. So it's like being, this is what happens, kids, when you get trapped in a sauna.
That was like exactly 12 hours.
Oh. Okay. So I am drinking Tortoise Creek Pinot Noir from Mission Grove, California. I'm only two sips in. I'm sure it'll be fine. It's a typical Pinot Noir, nothing shocking or stunning or earth shattering, but it's, I mean, it's good. It was also a screw top cap, so I don't know. I'm a little... Well, I'll tell you guys how I came upon it later, but we don't have time for that tonight. But yeah, so
I'm drinking Apothic Rosé, which I got because Stacy keeps talking about these amazing rosés, and so I was like, all right, I'm going to give it a shot. And it was a screw top, which I think they probably all are. But it's way too like wine cooler for me. It's pretty gross.
You got to put a shot of whiskey in it.
Yeah, something. Ooh. It needs something to...
Yeah, try the other ones that I've tried that I thought were good, because none of those were really too sweet.
Okay.
I'll send you a list.
Pretty sweet.
I don't like the sweet ones. They're gross.
Yeah.
I'm not drinking. I'm drinking water, and I'm drinking tea, but it's not my bougie Starbucks tea. It's my tea I make myself in my Yeti. And so it's the, in case anybody wants to know, the Tazo Awake English Breakfast Tea with some sugar and some lactate milk, because I can't have the lactose.
Before we get into our topics tonight, can we just take a moment to talk about the dum-dums that are blowing up their ridiculously expensive Yeti coolers because Yeti pulled...
stupid.
Okay, so, like, Yeti took away the discount or whatever for the NRA, I guess, just like a bunch of other places have done. And now people... are blowing up. Do you know how much those are? Like, my little tiny one is like $300.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It was a wedding gift.
No, that's crazy.
I don't think they just took it away from the NRA either, because we discovered we can use ID.me on the Yeti website and to qualify for a discount, and that discount's gone too. So I think they might have gotten rid of all of the, like, military, government, whatever the third one was, discounts.
Wow.
But the special snowflakes on the right are taking it real personal in blowing up their crazy expensive coolers.
That's fine. I'll buy all the Yetis.
Which I have never understood why people like react this way, because you've already given them your money. You're wasting
now,
it
now. Now you just don't have the thing and they still have your money.
Yeah. They're not giving you that back, you dum-dums. I can't.
That's real dumb. That's like when everybody burned all their like Kaepernick jerseys and like really
so stupid. Yes.
I didn't. Yeah. I still have mine.
I have never destroyed anything that I have already purchased because of something that happened. I may not choose to purchase said item again, but I will never blow anything up of mine for that.
I just don't have that kind of throwaway money.
Right.
No, and I don't have money for, like, explosives either. So I'm just not going to blow anything up ever.
Yeah.
I just don't. It's just funny because they spend so much time calling, like, the left such crybabies. And it's like, sir, you just took your, like, $500 cooler and blew it up because you weren't getting your 5% discount anymore. Do the math, stupid. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, it's like when they start, they broke all their Keurigs, too, because Keurig pulled its advertising from Sean Hannity. Oy.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, I just wanted to interject that. I like scrolled people past it on Twitter and I was like, what's happening? Like,
well, and I know I saw it because obviously I love Yeti so much and
we love Yeti.
I like
here
them
too
on Facebook. If Yeti wants to sponsor us, we're here for it. My Yeti wine glass is in the mail. I'm super pumped about that.
Lex uses the Yeti wine glass all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, they're the, well, I don't know if they're
Ben and Stacy sent them to me for my birthday.
The little stemless, okay, yeah, I have seen those.
They're
I
fantastic.
The pink cooler, the little one at Ace the other day, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's so cute.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I saw on Monday when Yeti released a statement about it, and I just thought it was super funny. Like, they did not pull the, it's super funny, like, totally taken out of context, but people like flipped out about, you know, about other, like, it's just so stupid. They just, they got rid of a bunch of outdated, like, discounting programs is all that happened. And people are dumb.
Yeah. I saw somebody posted about the Yeti wine glass the other day. I want to say cup because it's not a glass. And it says, like, keeps your wine cool for 6 hours. And I'm like,
it does.
Who has a glass of wine for 6 hours? Like, really? What are you doing?
Did you get lost? Did you leave it somewhere? Why would you do that?
I don't understand.
You left it unguarded? That's stupid. Especially because they're only about like 6 inches high. It's not like we're talking about a tumbler of wine here. Now, I could lose my big tumbler of wine, but that could last a little bit, but still that wouldn't last 6 hours. No. Okay, so let's get into it. Number one, the Golden State Killer, otherwise known as the East Area Rapist, was finally captured.
Yay! And I have questions.
I was so excited about it. So excited.
I know. Well, when I first thought just like everybody else, I went, didn't they already catch the Night Stalker? No. But it was a different guy from LA. They caught the original Night Stalker that did his dirty deeds between 76 and 86. And I was like, what? But I still have questions. Like, if he's a cop, well, he's an ex-cop. Did you read what he got fired for shoplifting?
I've read everything I could find about this. Well, I also read Michelle McNamara's book, too. I'll Be Gone in the Dark. Oh, my God. So good.
He got kicked off the police force, fired for stealing a hammer and dog repellent?
Dog repellent. I don't know, but if someone was buying that combination of products, I'd be like, what do you need that for?
Well, when he went under review, and instead of going through the review process on the police department, he just said, fuck it, and quit.
He quit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the reason that he had dog repellent was because he actually sliced a dog open that was following him. But the dog lived. It's in the book, but the dog lived. But yeah, he also tossed a poodle into a pool with the couple that he shot to death. So I think either he was, one, afraid of dogs, two, dogs didn't like him, which, PSA people, if a dog doesn't like you, I don't trust you.
Same 1,000.
Question is, if he is an ex-cop, why did they not have his DNA on record? Do they not have cops like fingerprinted and DNA on record for being a cop?
He was only a cop. He was a cop from 76 to 79 up in Auburn. So DNA wasn't a thing until the 80s. So they wouldn't have had his DNA on record.
In the 70s, too, I feel like any crime that was committed sort of before DNA was a thing, it just sort of was like, look at what they did. They, like, chalk outlined the bodies so you knew where they used to be. And, like, you know, robbers and, like, the Wild Wild West used to shoot their name into buildings and still they wouldn't get caught. Like, I feel like it was way easier to be sort of an anonymous serial killer back then because they just didn't have the technology to.
Except that there's 300 sure. active serial killers in this country right now.
That's crazy.
That is. So you guys know how he got finally caught, though, right?
All I read was that through surveillance and discarded DNA. So they had the killer's DNA on file, and then they got something from him, like a soda can, coffee cup, something out of his trash to match the DNA. But I don't know how they were, like, on his case.
Okay, so you know what I mean? I just read a piece in the New York Times, like, right before we got on. They tracked him down. Well, they had an idea who he was, mm-hmm. but with familiar matches, they tracked him down through, like, those 23andMe and Ancestry.com. They managed to, from the DNA they had left over from the crimes, they were finding people that had somewhat related matches in the system. And I don't even know how that's legal. So 23andMe is denying that they helped right now. And so is Ancestry.com mm-hmm. because that's a huge violation of privacy
that's
right
there.
That's
a huge can yes. of worms. So,
okay. yes. But this is what the New York Times was saying. So I don't know. But so they tracked it down through familiar matches and then finally narrowed it down to a pool of who they thought it could be and started mm-hmm. to like, he also lined up with other areas that they considered plausible. So
okay, well, wait. So just so I got this straight, they took the DNA of the killer from the 70s, mm-hmm. early 80s, and submitted it to 23andMe and saw his family?
I don't think they submitted his actual DNA. I think they probably sent the markers out from the DNA and asked those companies. And I'm just hypothesizing here because it didn't mm-hmm. say exactly how they did it in the article. And asked if they had any family matches so they could start narrowing down this pool. And they came back with lists of names and they were able to track it all the way up till it started matching more and more and more. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like that's going to, if that's what happened, that's going to come up in court and be totally admissible.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. That's but I don't know. Thing. Does anyone, it's like, it's that whole Facebook conundrum. Does anyone read the fine print when they sent their samples?
Yeah, right? Bit into their little tube. I don't know. I just think it's interesting, like, how many, did you look at the listing of, like, all of the crimes he's being accused of committing, like, that they're attributing to the, like, to this killer?
It's well, 50 rapes, 12 murders.
But it's interesting to see how it lines up, like, how many rapes there are before the murders start. Mm-hmm. And just the distance, like, obviously up in the Sacramento, Auburn, like, that area, but then down as far as like Walnut Creek.
Oh, he went all the way down to Los Angeles. Crazy. He was down in Irvine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's super crazy.
Well, and they're obviously not accrediting Michelle McNamara for, you know, any part of this, but
yeah,
the book she wrote, she like lived and breathed this case for like 6 years. And one of her main points was at the time he was just known as the East Area Rapist. She's actually the one who gave him the name, the Golden State Killer,
to try
and kind of force law enforcement agencies to start working together. Because one of the reasons he wasn't caught for so long was it crossed over so many jurisdictions that cops weren't putting together that the same MO of crimes in different areas were taking mm-hmm. place because they just didn't communicate like that at the time. So
it's crazy to me. I feel like they should have like a California wide database that pings for things that are just that mm-hmm. alike.
Similar.
100%.
Did you see Patton Oswalt was mm-hmm. on,
so for those of you that don't know, he was married to Michelle McNamara. Right. At the time she was writing this book and at the time that she died. And him.
He only got about 3/4 of the way through the book.
And him and two other people finished it. Yeah.
Right. And then it was published posthumously. And what a cool thing. Because he was on Seth Meyers last night and he was already a scheduled guest. And then this happened, and like how crazy for that to, you know, she wrote true crime stuff. So for the last work that they ended up having to, you know, publish posthumously for her to have them capture that, I think was such a like.
And if you don't want to read the book, because it is very, very scary, like it's real intense. It's, I don't think it would be as frightening now because he was just caught. But if you're going to read anything, read the last part, which is the letter to him. It is so intense. You will get chills.
They read that he read one of the sentences from it last night, and I was like, it totally gave me goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm looking that up.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's the letter she writes to him at the end. Like, you're going to get caught. They're going to pull up to your door. You're going to hear the doorstep or the footsteps. Mm-hmm. They're going to ring that bell, and that's going to be it. Like, it was written much more beautifully than that, but
yeah,
you get chills because you're like, that's how it happened. That I'm sure that's how it happened. Yeah. Happened. So
they were saying he... whatever, I don't even remember which article I read like three, but one of them said he was shocked when they were at the doorstep, but that they also knew he had a plan somehow, so he was like ready and has been ready for 30-40 years. Like, that's crazy.
I heard he's gonna talk though. I mean, they're really fortunate they caught him before he managed to kill himself, because I mean, he's, you know, how old is he, like 72 years old?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joseph James D'Angelo is his name.
I have to tell you, I have a cousin who has that same last name, and she posted a picture of him and the singer D'Angelo today, and she was like, two people we are not related to, just to clear it up. Okay, I have to, am I allowed to read it, that little part? Because mm-hmm. it's so creepy. Okay, so it says...
What do you mean,
so
are you allowed to? It's our podcast. Well, like, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, never mind. Do what I want. So it's in the afterword to the book I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is her book, and it's called A Letter to an Old Man. It says, one day soon, you'll hear a car pull up to your curb, an engine cut out. You'll hear footsteps coming up your front walk like they did when Edward Wayne Edwards, 29 years after he killed Timothy Hack and Kelly Drew in Sullivan, Wisconsin, like they did for Kenneth Lee Hicks, 30 years after he killed Laura Billingsley in Aloha, Oregon. The doorbell rings. No side gates are left open. You're long past leaping over a fence. Take one of your hyper-gulping breaths, clench your teeth, inch timidly towards your insistent bell. This is how it ends for you. You'll be silent forever, and I'll be gone in the dark, you threatened a victim once. Open the door, show us your face, walk into the light.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a movie.
Yeah,
that's intense.
Yeah.
And she died, right?
Yeah. She
which
did.
Which is a bummer. She didn't get to see. But I saw, like, her husband tweeted, like, you got him, babe, or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Well, and he's remarried now. And I have to say, his new wife has been so beyond supportive of mm-hmm. this whole endeavor. Because he's been out promoting the book and doing readings and doing press junkets and stuff. And they had a daughter together. And she's consistently tweeting, you know, how she'll make sure her daughter knows how amazing her mother was every single day. Like, she's just been so supportive and so I think her name's Meredith Sanger.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just really nice to see a woman who has replaced her, not tearing her down or even remaining silent, but just being so incredibly supportive of the whole thing.
Well, and I think people gave him kind of a little bit of crap that he got.
He got married a year after she died.
He got married a year after she died. But, like, if you are familiar with any of his comedy and stuff, like, he's talked a lot about, like it's very apparent he went through a pretty normal grieving process. Like, and he talked about it a lot, like, in his act and stuff. And I think it's just, you know, it's a really interesting thing to listen to his take on all of that stuff. And if you get a chance to listen to any of it, there's one called Tragedy Plus Comedy Equals Time, and that's the one where he talks a lot about, like, the whole everything surrounding her death, which was super unexpected. And
well, and people don't get to tell you how long you grieve for.
It's not your business either. I'm just saying, that special in particular, like, if you're someone like me who really likes to, not that I like to, I feel like I need to channel pain into comedy sometimes. You have to be able to see the levity in things, and I think it's really cathartic. It's a really good special if you're interested in, like, dramedy type situations.
And if anyone cares about this case and you listen to My Favorite Murder, Karen and Georgia did, like, an emergency podcast when it happened.
And
they were so excited. Karen was like, this is, now I get it. Football people, this is like the Super Bowl for us. I get it, Eagles fans. Like,
I have to listen to it still.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I listened to one of their podcasts the other day where I don't know if they talked about him or the LA Night Stalker, but I feel like it was him that they talked about, because I remember thinking, oh, that's so close to home for us.
Well, they did a live taping with the final writers of the book. They did like a question and answer with them. And the last podcast, that the emergency podcast that they just did, Billy, one of the people that helped finish the book, actually, he calls in and talks to them about how it all kind of happened and how excited everybody is. And they're like super hyped up on caffeine. They're bouncing off the walls. It's like Christmas morning for the My Favorite Murder Girls. It was real
that's
funny.
That's so funny.
So like, not totally changing the subject, but a little bit. Did you guys hear about that guy that like ran the sperm bank? That something happened where like his power went out and he lost a bunch of samples, and so he filled them himself. And he got caught like recently. Like, did he fill them so long ago? I wish I'd looked it up. That DNA was not a thing yet, and people weren't like figuring that kind of stuff out. Or was he that dumb? Really? If that's your job, if you're a doctor, wouldn't you know better?
Well, it crosses so many ethical barriers. Like, it's not even, it's not even funny. But you wouldn't, as people who went through this process, when you receive the sample, it's not like you sent it out for DNA testing to prove that it's the person that you picked. So I don't know how anyone would have found out unless some major disease came up or, you know, whatever.
I was thinking, like, if the doctor had a dominant trait that you and the person you picked, your, you know, sperm donor don't have. So if you have black hair and this guy has black hair and the doctor's blonde and blue eyed and you had your baby come out blonde and blue eyed, like
your baby comes out.
I just don't understand what goes through someone's head.
Black, you know, whatever. Exactly. You're expecting a completely different ethnicity.
It seems like it would be so easy for him to get caught. What the hell was he thinking?
Well, yeah, what the hell was he thinking? Like, that crosses so many. How can a person spend so much time in school and rake up so many student loans to throw it away by jerking off into a few? Men are so stupid.
So,
like,
they're
just so stupid.
Yeah.
Because
well,
I guarantee
who has
you he
a background in science.
Yeah.
Think that's a smart idea, or that you wouldn't somehow get caught.
I can only assume, and I wish I had looked it up so I had better details. I can only assume that it was like in the 70s or 80s where DNA testing wasn't a big thing. And he just never pictured that there would be something like 23andMe where we're connecting our own DNA now and people are finding their daddies all over.
There's gotta, like, that guy had to have some balls, A, to think he'd get away with it,
womp,
and B,
womp,
to have that many donations.
Womp, womp, womp.
So many
I think if you were to tell people we had a power outage, we lost a bunch of sperm, people may be disappointed, but that's a perfectly acceptable okay. And I
also
have to assume you have insurance that would cover
a generator too.
Right? What kind of backyard thing did this guy have going on?
It's just in his like meat freezer that
it's a Yeti cooler.
It's next to the venison. Like, what the fuck?
He's got like guys like jerking off in his bathroom right there in his house. So gross.
Hey, that works. You ever seen the L Word?
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
you're a terrible lesbian.
Bill Cosby, finally. So Bill Cosby was retried in Morristown, Pennsylvania for 3 charges of sexual assault that happened 14 years ago. Now, he was tried last year and he was acquitted. But the difference was 2 people testified last time and they let an additional 5 women testify this time. So he was actually charged on 3 counts of sexual misconduct. They're letting him out on $1 million bail, which really irritates
me. 80.
Because you know he has it, too.
Well, how I see it unfolding is he's going to get on bail. He's going to continue to fight this and appeal it until he dies. So he won't spend a single damn day in jail. He's not losing any money. Like,
well, 80, like, I don't know. Like,
don't you
what's
have
quality of life?
Well, and don't you have to, like, you don't have to put up, how much money do you actually even have to pay, like, post?
I think it's 10%.
Yeah, 10%. He's worth $400 million. Yeah. So 10% of $1 million is not exactly going to, like, he could have to pay the whole $1 million and he'd still have $399 million. Like,
yeah.
It's just gross.
Well, do you have, like, the facts in front of you right now, Jax?
I have some of them, yeah.
Okay, so this lady that is accusing him, they had a mistrial, mm-hmm. right?
Well, they had and a hung jury.
Okay, so she accused him within the statute of limitations, but like a year before. What do you know what that was? Was it 10 years?
I'm not sure.
They had a really long statute of limitations, I saw, but then they didn't say how long.
I'm not sure. I don't have that written down, but in this trial that they just did, they allowed like Janice Dickinson to testify, and hers took place back in like 1986, I think, or 1981 in the early 80s. And then they let another woman testify who he raped her when she was 17 in 1986 in Las Vegas. So
I think they have those people on because they're already out of like the statute of limitations. They have those people on kind of like
character
witnesses.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah. He's not being charged with their assault.
Right. Okay. So I was just trying to figure out if she was in the 10-year window, you know, if was he like 70 when he did that to her? Is that
what it was? Been.
I'm looking right here. It says that this happened in 2004. She was 30 and he was 66.
Okay, so that's not. I was picturing him being like 75 and committing this act, and I'm thinking that seems a little strange.
Well. And it also says he gave her pills that left her immobile and drifting in and out of consciousness. And he said he had only given her Benadryl.
Mm-hmm. But he admitted to the pills. I saw.
Right. Right. So I think that's how, like, because I think it does beg the question of, like, somebody of that age, could they? But, yeah, like, when you apply someone with pills and they are in and out of consciousness and limp and can't move and that sort of stuff, like, yeah, you're even in your 70s. Can still
Viagra
for someone.
Yeah, Viagra.
And let's be real, I don't give a shit if it was Benadryl or if it was codeine. Like, you intentionally drugged someone with the explicit intention to have sex with her while she was unconscious. That's disgusting. Because sure, one Benadryl, like, I could see him being like, oh, you know, but if you gave someone six Benadryls, that would knock them on their ass. Two Benadryls knocks me out, so I can't even imagine.
That's what he said the first time, but this trial, he actually admitted to, and I don't remember the name of the drug, but it was a date rape drug.
Yeah.
He admitted to date rape drugging her.
He's gross.
So, yeah, so that's why it was so, like, easy for them to say, yeah, you're guilty. He admitted, finally.
It's disgusting.
It is.
Go ahead.
Do you guys think that the reason he actually was brought down this time was because of the, like, kind of wave of the Me Too movement?
I think so. I think it had a lot to do with it.
Because he was hung jury last year, so.
Yeah.
I read about, one of the articles I read said that there was a huge protesting crowd outside that they had to really keep the jury from. Because as much as everybody's like, yeah, the Me Too movement is doing good, they didn't want any kind of, like, swaying from the protesters. And so they kept the jury really sealed from the protesters, from seeing or hearing anything from them. So that, because they were like, as much as we support the Me Too movement, we don't want them to do the wrong thing by swaying the jury.
Well, yeah, because then it could be you could get a tainted jury and that causes for an appeal that it could get thrown out.
Here's the thing. I don't know how much it influenced their decision. I think the thing that it influenced the most was the sort of fallacy of victim shaming, or, you know, trying to
not believing women,
not believing them and say they're in it for the money or say that it was consensual, or, like, I think that's the part of it that it really influenced. Like, stop just jumping to that inclusion, like that conclusion. There's a lot of reasons why women don't report things right away. And it sounds like she made this report in 2005 originally, which was not that long after it actually took place. So
I don't know. I also saw the only thing that irked me that made me go, oh, was that one of her coworkers said on the stand that she claimed, like, before it happened, that she was going to find a celebrity to frame to become an overnight millionaire. And so she said that on the stand. And obviously, like, it didn't go very far because he still, you know, was found guilty. But that kind of made me go, ooh, that's not good.
What I think about that kind of stuff is, and I have no doubt that there is women like that out there, 100%. But he's been accused by, like, over 30 women now. So yeah. Even if four of them are trying to make money, 26 of them are right. not and were legitimately. And I don't care if it's a false one that takes him down because the statute of limitations ran out on all the ones that he was raping with the intention of hurting them.
The thing to remember about that, too, is the fact that this happened in 2004 and there was not a peep about him doing anything in 2004. Mm-hmm. So I think it would have been a lot easier to come forward after some sort of allegation had been made. But it sounds like she started pursuing this before, and someone that appears so wholesome and America's dad and that sort of thing, you'd pick somebody who I think is a little bit of an easier target to try to.
Yeah, it does.
Not a 66-year-old, you know, family values comedian and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
find Trump.
Not Dr. Huxtable.
Just go find Trump. he clearly is paying people off that he's fucking.
Not enough.
The other thing about that statement too, and she could have really meant that. Mm-hmm. But also, I have said things to my coworkers about wanting to get rich easily that if something horrific had happened to me.
That's true. We all say stuff and joking around. But,
like if you're saying something like, oh, I'm going to freaking kill her. And then she dies.
Yeah.
And you replay everything that you've ever said about them. And she may have, that may have been her intention. I don't know. But.
But he's guilty. And let me just say this too. And I'm going to take a hard stance on this. So was Michael
As opposed
Jackson.
To what? As opposed
to. Yeah, that's true. As opposed to all the rest of the time. And I just don't have an opinion on things. I'm sorry. He's guilty. And so was Michael Jackson. And you can like Michael Jackson's music. And that's fine. But. I like how we all forget about the fact that Michael Jackson did a lot of bad things.
I'm not like some crazy Michael Jackson fan. I could take him or leave him. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. But his good friend, Macaulay Culkin, who like they were really close, keeps saying over and over, those allegations are bullshit. Like I knew him and they were not true. And so I'm kind of like.
But also, devil's advocate, how many times does someone do something heinous? And their very best friend, closest neighbor, family member is like, I had no idea that was going on.
Sure.
There are so many very consistent stories. And again, lots of contributing factors. But I'm just saying, do I think that maybe he touched some little boys? 100%. I think Bill Cosby drugged some ladies and had sex with them? 100%.
My only objection, my only pushback about Michael Jackson, and I'm with Stacey, I like his music, but I don't, you know, it's whatever. People say the king of pop and I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, I don't have any like real affinity towards him. I actually prefer his sister, Janet Jackson, to him, but he had such he had such an obscure life. And I think he had some mental illnesses that weren't treated. And I think he definitely had Peter Pan syndrome.
Yes.
And I think I do think it was 100% inappropriate to be having sleepovers with young kids. Who does that?
Right.
But even after he paid some of those parents, they were still letting their kids go over to his house, which I think is real sketchy. If you think your kid's being molested, I don't care how big of a payout you get, you're not letting them go back over there. So like I think R. Kelly's guilty as shit, but I don't know about Michael Jackson.
I think there's a lot of contributing factors. Like I said, I think there's a lot of things, the way he was raised and I agree. I like his music. I like Captain EO. That was like one of my favorite things at Disneyland.
Thriller. I mean, come on, Thriller.
When there's that many accusations and they're all super consistent.
But none of them went to court. They were all going for payouts. which is, I think, the other kind of indicator of how much do you really think this man is a threat when you're willing just to take his money and be quiet, as opposed to wanting to see him in jail. Like, these women wanted to see
things to people.
These women wanted to see Cosby in jail.
I just think it's weird because there was all this, like, yeah, he's probably guilty, and then he died, and everybody was
I think it's super weird. I'm not condoning any of his Neverland behaviors.
I'm going to say, none of the people I dance with listen to this podcast anyways, probably. I think it's super weird that the only posters we have on the wall at our dance studio are of Michael Jackson. Like, you probably don't want to have pictures of somebody who was accused of molesting children up in your place where children come.
It's weird that people that get free passes, though. Whether he's
guilty or not.
It's weird the people that get free passes on this kind of stuff.
So I'm just wondering if the same thing will happen with Bill Cosby, if he then will pass away and everybody will be like, man, Bill Cosby was so funny.
I don't think so.
It doesn't make the Cosby show any less funny. You know.
Well, and there were still other characters in there that deserve not to be tainted because of what Cosby did, that did a great job, and, you know.
For sure. Yeah. And he was a good actor.
Yeah. Just like Michael Jackson was a great singer and a great dancer, and I don't take any of that away. But I'm just saying, I'm going to be curious to see how this plays out, because I do feel like the reputation Michael Jackson had when he was alive turned into a very different situation after he died.
I feel like he's just, Bill Cosby's health is already, like, declining, and I feel like Jack said, he's going to pay to stay out of jail until he dies, and then he's going to die, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know. Right. Makes you think twice about eating Jell-O, huh?
Oh, poor Jell-O.
Yeah.
Poor Jell-O. that Puddin' Pop commercial, though, has a whole different meaning.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm still going to watch his movies. There's that one, Jack with Robin Williams.
Is he in that?
Yeah, he's Jack's doctor.
Oh, that's right. That's a good movie,
though. That's objectively a great movie.
But Robin Williams is in it.
He sits up in the treehouse with them and sings that Charlie Brown song. Yeah. Yeah, he's real sweet in that movie.
Did he put any Benadryl in his drink?
Oh, my Lord. Stop it.
Just Benadryl. He's concerned about his allergies being up in that tree and whatnot.
Okay.
Stop it.
Kate Middleton. Having to go out in public mere hours after birthing a human being with a smile on her damn face. My real question is, who thinks she was wearing a diaper? I mean, really?
Well, I mean, everybody does the first 24 hours.
She had to have been, right?
But yeah. Everyone does, but not everyone walks out in heels right after giving birth. And I
like perfectly coiffed hair and makeup and still like post birth.
And let me be clear, I am not
have
three.
This was the third.
Let me be clear, I am not hating on Kate Middleton at all. It is the pressure that's put upon her to have to be better than human.
This is the third. This is the third, and she has had to do this for every Princess Diana had to do it. That's the thing you do. You pop that air out, and then you walk out like nothing.
But you know what?
Not hooked up to an IV. There's nothing.
If she had like a totally normal birth, there's no reason she shouldn't do that. Like, because when I had my first, like, I had her Friday at like in the middle of the night. I went to work Monday morning to show her off just because I was so excited and wanted everybody to
see. And I
had
there's wrong
makeup, the clothes that I was wearing before I got pregnant, like, because that's what I wanted to everybody to see, like, look what I did, you know. I was so excited.
You wanted that. Not the here is a here is expect. Well, I'm just saying the expectation is that you come out and you look gorgeous, and you here's your baby. Like,
to be fair, she always looks gorgeous. She always looks perfect.
I know.
I'm just saying, don't automatically assume it's like a burden on her, because some people are like all about it. Like,
and maybe it's not. I was, and like I said, I'm not hating on her. I was so impressed with how fantastic she looked the same day of giving birth. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, Kate Middleton, I'm like, that is so impressive that she looked so good and looked like she was genuinely smiling and happy to, like, I was thoroughly impressed. I think it's unfortunate that is required of her, and maybe you're right, maybe she wanted to, but since every woman before her has had to do the same thing, I don't know. But I mean, they know what they're getting into when they decide to marry a prince. What I do think is cool that England did is her middle daughter is a girl, And normally when a boy is born, the girl gets bumped down in the line of succession to be the king or queen. And Parliament in the UK passed a new law and their daughter didn't lose her place in line. So they no longer will justify it by gender. So she actually didn't lose her place in line to the crown, which, I mean, we could get into a whole discussion on royals and whether or not that even should be a thing and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But... okay, the funniest thing that happened out of all of this, though, that I think is, I just think it's hilarious. So they obviously have some kind of help, but they have three kids, but they don't have a ton of help. It's not like, I mean, it's, they're taking care of these kids. And the best thing was on, let's see, it was like a day or two after the baby was born. He had to go to this Anzac Day of Service and commemoration and Thanksgiving at Westminster Abbey. And it was this big, like, church ceremony and stuff. And he's 100% trying not to fall asleep. It is the funniest aww thing in the world. You can tell he has been up with that baby. And he's like totally doing like that where you nod off and then you have to like catch your head and bring it up really quick. It's so relatable, I think. Because like, yeah, he is not getting any sleep. They have a newborn and two other kids. And this poor guy is trying to stay awake through what looked like a very boring...
That's right.
Well, I read they I read that they only use nannies when they both when they have conflicting work functions. Like they eat dinner together, he bathes them, like she like they actually raise their kids. They're not being raised by nannies.
It sounds like they're super
that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You I can like tell that. By the way he was falling asleep in that church.
Oh yeah, if it was just a nanny taking care of him and they weren't even in the same room, he'd be fine.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
So, what is everyone obsessed with this week?
State. Honestly, like mine's real dumb, but I just watched Wentworth, you know, I rewatched it because the new season's coming out in June. And I was so upset when it ended that I started watching Orange is the New Black because it was the closest, it was the next closest thing. And they're totally 100% different. But I just finished Orange is the New Black today because it's also the new season's coming out in June. So now I'm like, now what do I do with myself? Like, I can't believe I watched both seasons, you know, both like shows, seasons. And now I'm like, I got to wait till June. That was supposed to last a lot longer.
Aww.
Did you watch the new episode of The Handmaid's Tale?
No.
I don't have Hulu.
You have the Fire Stick.
I do. I mean, it never occurred to me to watch it on the Fire Stick. No, I haven't.
Watch that.
Okay. I think
that'll
I've
fill
only
your
seen,
time a little.
How far is it even in? I think I watched like the first season.
They just had like I just watched the first episode of the second season, and
okay, I might be a watch couple it. Episodes shy of the whole season.
I didn't get to finish The Handmaid's Tale. I got to finish it.
I was stressed out watching that.
Cool. Yeah, I'll watch it.
Stacey, what are you obsessed with?
Okay, I have two things, but they're
of
real
course.
Quick. Number, I know, whatever. So the first thing is that the Mean Girls musical opened on Broadway, and I want to see it so bad. But anyways, they released one of the songs on iTunes, and I totally love it. It's called I'd Rather Be Me, and Janice sings it, and it's so great. And also, super funny, they don't know what they're doing, because Tina Fey and her husband, like, wrote the show, and they've never done this before, and I think this is really cute and relatable that they released it for pre-order on iTunes, and then decided to add more content, and it made all of the pre-orders go away. So she was on Jimmy Fallon, and she was like, so, have you ordered it already? Can you do it again? Like, we don't know what we're doing, which I think is super funny. Also, I am super excited. I'm getting my eyebrows microbladed tomorrow. So I'm real excited about that. I'm super obsessed with that. I've been looking.
Is that tattooing?
Kind of. Technically, it's tattooing, but they don't use like a tattoo gun or anything. They use a scalpel and ink, and they make individual hair strokes on your eyebrows. Which
so
let
you
me just,
scabs.
You might get some a little bit, yes. But let me just say, this is gonna sound okay.
I can't wait to see you next week.
I know. I have eyebrows. I have very nice eyebrows. They are not in the same place on my face. It's not symmetrical. One's much
You always look like you're questioning someone.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like that. With my natural eyebrows. So then I have to pluck one from the bottom up and one from the top down to make them even on my face. but one of them is real sparse then at the top. So they look a little crazy, and I'm so nervous.
I've never noticed that a single like hair on your eyebrows is out of place. So
okay, I thought your eyebrows are always ridiculously perfectly drawn.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. That's because I fill them in like this. If I let them grow in, like this one will, like my left one will grow is higher. So I pluck the left one from the top down and I pluck the right one from the bottom up. And then I have to fill the right one in because it's not as sparse. The way they grow naturally on my face is one much higher than the other. The only reason I have to fill them in is because they're in different places on my face to try and even them out a little bit. It's going to save me so much time and energy and money. And I don't need to wear makeup, but when you fill in just your eyebrows and don't have any other makeup on your face, you look like a crazy person. So I can just not wear makeup.
I just had like a glimpse.
And I just both like had like mouth open, eyes wide, like... Look on our face.
I just had like a 5-second glimpse into Stacey's world, and I can't even imagine being you for a day.
It's so much work to look this.
This
mediocre.
Doesn't just happen, people.
I don't wake up like this, guys.
I like really want to see Stacey without makeup now, like the way
we've
she
seen her without
it,
makeup
like,
when she's sick.
What?
We've seen her without makeup when she's sick.
I don't think
that's
so.
True. Yeah. And it's because when I have no makeup on now, one eyebrow is very, very sparse, like right at the top, because I squeeze them to get them to be even on my face.
Oh my God. Do you use a ruler?
No.
Do you like hold
a
it up?
Pencil.
Freehand.
Oh shit. Look at you. Freehand. Professional. Okay, I am obsessed with, my mom is getting here on Saturday because our baby shower is next week, and she's going to help me paint the nursery and put the crib together and like do all of that kind of stuff that I've actually wanted to get started on it, but I know she really wants to do it too. So, but I painted the bathroom, we got new carpet put in, like we're doing all kinds of stuff in preparation for the baby getting here soon. So, it's exciting.
So exciting.
It's exciting. And the Stacys are going to have to come out here and visit.
I'm coming.
I know.
But I'm not going to spend all the money to come out until he's born. I want to meet
him. I know.
So, yeah. I mean, you two were like chopped liver.
I was just thinking that. Who cares now? Yeah.
Yep. Sorry.
So how's everyone's wine?
It still tastes like juice.
Mine's good.
Still in the bottle.
Mine's actually, it got better. It's actually really good. So
I'm going to say, just because mine sucks, that I had one last week when you guys recorded because I felt sad about being left out. So I drank my own wine.
Oh.
And I'm just kidding. It was the Kirkland brand wine from Costco. And I was like, oof. Yeah, I'll try it. But I don't have high hopes. And it was like $9 or $10. I was like, yeah. It was so good. I'm going to go back and buy more.
Really?
You know the deal with Kirkland wine, right? That they buy other wine and then just slap their label. Like they.
I've heard that, but yeah. I didn't know if it was true. And I
so
don't
usually
remember now.
Like
I did
like $30 or $40 bottles of wine, and then
for
they buy them like closeout prices. They put the Kirkland logo on it, and then they sell it for like $10.
I think I'm gonna go like stock up on like 3 or 4 bottles just to have here just when people come over, because it was really good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give a shout
just
out
put
to
it in a
wine.
Carafe and no one will know.
Nobody knows.
That's true.
I do that all the time. Shh.
What?
Hey, look at us. We kept it under an hour for once.
We're so good.
I know. That is it for us this week, you guys. I don't know if we'll be recording next week. We'll guess you'll find out. It'll be a little Friday surprise. But until next time, I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
Bye.
Bye.